Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
7:32 in the a.m. here in Charm City. Cold one on this Friday. Hope you guys that are just waking up are on pace for a great day into a great weekend. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy today here with Ed Norris, Joe LaCroix behind the glass. First Friday of the year, 2025. I got to get used to saying that. Make sure I'm not writing 2024 on anything either. I have a bad habit of that. Right now, we're looking at this Ravens-Browns game that's getting underway tomorrow. Ravens playing for the AFC North title in this game as they host the Browns. I'm going to look at some of the over-unders for this one. And Joe, you have the floor.
All right, we'll start off with this one. I was actually kind of figuring out how to write some of these. They're a little tongue-in-cheek, I will admit, especially that third one. But the first one up, Lamar pass rating of at least 134.4. If he gets over that number, he will set a new NFL record for highest passer rating in a season by a quarterback. That would best Aaron Rodgers' record of, I think it was 122.5 for the season. Right now, he's at 121.6.
Yeah, I think he goes over. Honestly, I think he's going to have an incredible game. I wouldn't be surprised to see like nearly perfect passer rating, maybe like 151, 153, something like that, where he's just lighting them up. As long as he's in there.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to go over that. I don't even think he's going to have necessarily a huge workload in terms of throwing the ball. I could see him going, 14 for 16, something like that. Maybe a touchdown or two in there. But I definitely believe he's going for that record.
I do, too. I think he's going to get it. And I can't remember. He's had an incredible number of games over 100 this year with the passer rating. Like, just, he's having an incredible season.
Yes.
Like, almost an MVP season.
It's crazy.
Well, all the quarterbacks that have the top five for those seasons, they all won the MVP that year.
Did they?
So, he would be the first one of the top five per season that wouldn't win it if he doesn't get it. So, up next, Cordell, you kind of alluded to this. Might influence your decision on how much this person actually plays. Derrick Henry, 110.5 yards rushing.
Yeah, I for that reason I went under just because I wasn't sure if he'd be in there long enough. I don't know if he's going to break. If he breaks off a 40, 50-yard run, then obviously, it looks good for his chances. But I do think, they'll put up a fight early in the game. He'll have some carries, but I don't think he'll – I don't necessarily see him getting over 110.5.
I'm with you. I went under only because I think he's going to play three quarters of the game.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to play a full game. He doesn't tend to get a lot of carries in the first half anyway, as he just kind of ramps up as the game goes on. I could see him getting, 80 yards, 90, whatever. I don't see him getting over 110 because I don't think he's going to be in long enough. If he plays the whole game, he could have 150 yards.
Right. So.
We might be in trouble if he's playing the whole game.
Yes,
though.
I agree.
For sure.
Yep.
All right, next one. This one is one kind of a joke, but I'm
but
still I'm still hurt from week 8. Over under Ravens defense drops a half an interception.
I'm going to go over. I think they drop at least one.
Yeah.
So I could see somebody just having one bounce off their hands.
I'm giving them some credit. I'm going under. They've done a better job here. The guys that, for the guys that have been in a position to make these plays have made them. Marlon, Ardarius, those seem to be the main two guys that the ball is finding here right now. Now, look, if the ball finds Brandon Stevens, I'm probably in trouble. He's probably...
It's because he's not turning around.
Hit him in the helmet.
Right. It might hit him in the ear hole, unfortunately. But, I do think that if they do get an opportunity, these quarterbacks are so bad, the ball literally, it won't just hit them in the neck. I mean, it may hit them right there in the rib cage to the point it might stick. It might stick.
Yeah.
Maybe Michael Pierce will get one.
Hey, he might.
All right.
And then the ball will stick.
There's no other option.
I'm here for a Michael Pierce pick six. I'm here for that.
That's a big man pick six right there. All right, so I'm going to amend this next one. I put Bailey Zappe for passing yards, but let's just say Browns quarterbacks.
Combined?
Yes, combined.
Oh, combined?
Yeah, let's just do combined.
That makes it interesting.
Yeah. So it'll be Browns quarterbacks combined over under 219.5 yards passing.
I'm going to still stay under. I think this game is going to be just a domination. I do. I think it's going to be a complete lopsided score, statistically the same way. I can see the Ravens having over 400 offensive yards and the Browns having under 200. So I could see this. I'm going to say under in passing yards.
So only reason I'm going to go over is because it's looking like they're not going to have a lot of running backs available. I mean, Jerome Ford has already been declared out. Pierre Strong is declared out as well. I don't know how much they really want to run Nick Chubb in this game, and I imagine they're going to be playing from behind. So I'm taking into account, okay, maybe Jerry Jeudy pops one. Maybe Jeudy gets a big game, not a big game, but a couple of splash plays here and there. And maybe it's the James Prochet revenge game. Not really. But I think they're going to have to throw the ball so much that they'll eventually get over that 219.5, probably in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's the other way. Yes. I mean, I think they're going to have to throw the ball a whole lot.
Right.
We'll see what they do with
until they get to the point to where they're just like, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
let's just milk the clock.
Yeah, without David Njoku also, right. That's another person who always gets chunk plays for them. All right, last one. I thought about making this Myles Garrett 2.5 sacks because I want him. I like Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. I want him to succeed, but I just decided to go overall Browns defense 2.5 sacks.
I went under. I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming, you know, I'm taking the Lamar factor into account here. I don't think Lamar gets sacked 3 times in this game. Now, Josh Johnson gets in. It's a different conversation. Yeah. I could see him taking a couple of sacks. So maybe I should switch it to over. But I'm leaning under. I'll switch it to over. I'll go over. I think the backup is the one that gets sacked a lot. And that's assuming that they're throwing.
Yeah, I'm going under. Lamar's very
good. Maybe I should go under too.
Lamar's
I'm all over the place.
He's difficult to sack. I think the Browns are going to have to throw. I don't think the Ravens are going to be throwing much at the end of the game. Excuse me. So I just think it's going to be under. I don't see them. He'll throw a little bit at the beginning. It'll keep them honest. But I think once the game gets out of hand, which hopefully it does, they're not going to have sack opportunities. They shouldn't.
I'm going to try to look at this objectively, but let's just, because they did beat them the first time around with a backup quarterback in Jameis. They had just traded Amari Cooper. They had just fired their offensive coordinator. So everything had pointed to the Ravens were supposed to blow them out in that game, and they didn't. They ended up losing. Is there a scenario where the Ravens don't win tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah. If they give the, you know, hit themselves with 150 penalty yards, it'll turn the ball over. Sure, of course, it's always a possibility. I mean, if they come in taking them lightly, come in a little sluggish, sure.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Let's go to Bill in Perry Hall. Bill, you're on the Fan.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's going on? Good morning.
Well, it's an exciting time down there at M&T with the Ravens, and we all believe they're going to win a Super Bowl, but. It's kind of bittersweet for about 800 to 1,200 of us. Most of these PSL holders down in the West End Zone, it's been there for 25 years. And as excited as we are for the Ravens, it's going to be their final hurrah in their seats that they own, rather they were there 25 years or 1 year. So as much as we're excited for that Super Bowl win and we're all going to be cheering, it's kind of a bittersweet, sad day for those guys.
But they're getting seats though, right? They're just in different areas of the stadium.
It is not necessarily. Some are a little upset. We'll probably be leaving.
But they're being offered. I mean, they're not being kicked out.
They're being offered, and let's seat 1 through 7, which is going to be gone. Because of the corporate suites coming in. Mm-hmm. Look, those people have to leave. But the sad part is the people from row 8 on back, their seats aren't being taken, but they're kind of being moved anyway. And that's kind of not fair. But saying that, it is, I just want to say it's been a great time down there at M&T Stadium in that West End zone. And I just think that all the fans in M&T feel like they're the 12th man. But I will tell you, those 12,800 people down there feel like they're a big part of the 12th man in that West End zone.
Appreciate the call, Bill. And yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. You know, I could see, you know, I understand a little bit of that because I used to be a season ticket holder. And granted, I wasn't in the situation of where they were taking my seats or kicking us out. But I understand it's the same people you see every game.
That's
and it becomes an extended family a little bit. So, you know, it does hurt. I can imagine, you know, and the memories, all that stuff, the cool seats, sure. Yeah. But I think it's the connections
with
the people.
And I think the people who are making this argument, like the last call, and I totally get it. I'm sympathetic to what they're saying. Sad, it's not going to change anything. They're doing it.
Right.
But it's not the seats. It's the fact that you've been seeing the same people for a decade or more, mm-hmm. or 2 years, whatever it is. That's what you just said is what it is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you've made friends, you know each other, you kind of, it's just the same people all the time. Every other week or whatever it is, every week sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you'd be sitting next to the same folks and that's going to change. So I understand.
No doubt. I mean, but the stadium, that's the give and take, you know,
that
you want to upgrade the stadium. It comes at a cost. Unfortunately, it's going to impact people. Hopefully they are able to get seats and hopefully just as good seats. But yeah, it's definitely a huge change.